Would you turn back to Ephesians chapter 2? Tonight, I'm going to be preaching upon this subject, beautiful to God. Beautiful to God. Let's read verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 2 once again. For through Him, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. I have entitled this message, The Sinner's Religion. What kind of title is that? The Sinner's Religion. Now listen to this statement very carefully. The gospel of Jesus Christ is essentially and fundamentally a sinner's religion. I hope by the end of this message, you'll understand why I make that statement and why I've given this message this title, because I do so with fear. I'm not being flippant. Sin is an infinite evil. The gospel is the sinner's religion. We read in our text about having access, freedom of entrance to the Father. What a glorious thing to think about. It doesn't get any better than that. Access to the Father. Access into the Holy of Holies. Access. You know, a lot of times when I get on the computer and I try to get into my bank account, I don't have access. I guess that probably happens to you as well. I don't know if it just happens to me. I know that sometimes I'm not very good with devices. But, you know, it says, you know, your computer's not recognized. Well, it's the same computer I always use. I don't know how that happens, but there's a world that I don't have any access into. I can't get in, and then I got to go through a number of steps in order to get access. Now here we read of access, entrance, being welcomed into the very presence of the Father. We both, Jew and Gentiles, we. Not all Jews, not all Gentiles, but all Jews and Gentiles who are sinners. We have access into the very presence of the Father, not access denied. Now, this would be meaningless if we didn't realize that it was denied to many. Many, our Lord said. Many, not a few. Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? In your name have we not cast out demons? In your name have we not done many wonderful works? And then shall I say to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. These people are denied access. The Lord said, no man can come to me except it were given to him of my Father. There are many who try to come some other way than Christ, and like Cain, who came bringing the fruit of the ground, which God had already cursed, his works. Like Cain, they will be denied. Now let's read this verse again, verse 18. For through him, the Lord Jesus Christ, through him we both, Jew and Gentiles, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, right off the bat, we see the Trinity in this verse. Him, the Lord Jesus, the Father, and the one Spirit. God is one God in three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, if you came up to somebody who didn't have any idea of who God really is and said, God is one God in three distinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they'd say, what? Well, I understand that response. It's not something we can understand, but it's something we know because of revelation. Now, let me remind you, and I imagine I probably ought to do this every time I preach. The Bible's the Word of God. It's the inspired, inerrant Word of God. How do you expect me to believe that? Well, I expect you to believe that God created the universe. I do expect you to believe that. I mean, to believe something different than that is a leap in the dark. Something had to cause something. God caused the creation of the universe. Nobody caused Him. Nobody made Him. I expect you to believe that. Anything else doesn't even make sense. It really doesn't make sense to think all of a sudden, boom, here we have life. Somehow a bunch of primordial stew came, life came out of that. That's a leap in the dark. I expect you, and I know you do, deep down, believe that God created the universe. And if God can create the universe, it's no problem to Him to inspire a book where He tells us who He is. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And in this revelation from God, we find out that God is one God in three separate persons. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, a distinct person, and the Word was God. Now, mystery. Understood? No. Believed with all my heart. One God in three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. God is one God in three distinct persons. And the Scripture also reveals concerning this one God in three distinct persons, this one God in three distinct persons before the creation of the universe made a covenant. A testament. The Father elected a people before time began and gave them to His Son. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. In this covenant He gave the Son, this people, and the Son agreed to accept full responsibility for their salvation. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. He didn't lay down his life for the goats, but he did lay down his life for the sheep. He took full responsibility for their salvation. Now this is revelation. This is what the Bible teaches. And God the Holy Spirit agreed to give life to those the Father elected and those the Son redeemed. Now this is gospel truth. You cannot preach the gospel, not preach this. It's impossible. I know that there are preachers who never even touch on any of these things, but they're not preaching the gospel. This is the gospel, the triune God. God the Father electing a people. God the Son dying for those people and working out a righteousness for those people and redeeming those people. And God the Holy Spirit giving life to those people. This is the gospel. The Bible teaches a Trinitarian salvation. All three persons of the Godhead act in this salvation for the glory of His holy name. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. All three persons are stated in this chapter and they're working salvation. Verse 4. Here's God the Father electing according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Look down in verse 7. Here's the work of the Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Look in verse 13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There's the work of God, the Holy Spirit in salvation. Holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Father. Holy is the Son. Holy is the Spirit. Now through Him, we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access. Freedom of entrance. Welcome. Full access. Romans 5:2 says, by whom we have access. Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have access. It's sad that most men think this is a given from the mistaken notions they have of God's character and themselves. They think God is here to serve humanity, to help humanity. Why did He make us if He doesn't want us all to be saved and bring us into His fold? And there's a mistaken view of humanity thinking man has a free will and he can come marching into God's presence anytime he decides to. All he's got to do is will it. And now he's welcome. He can come in. And through that double mistaken notion concerning the character of God and the character of man, they don't understand that God is unapproachable in holiness. Unapproachable. He can't have anything to do with somebody like me and somebody like you. He is unapproachable in holiness. No man, because of his sin, has access into God's presence. Your sins have separated you. That's what God says. But through Him, in Him, and by Him, all that the Father elected, all that the Son redeemed, all that God the Holy Spirit has given life to, have access. Freedom of entrance. Come and welcome. They're welcomed into the very presence of the Holy of Holies and have all the love, favor, and acceptance of God. Now, what is meant by this thing of having access with the Father? Well, number one, that which prevented my access has been removed. Plumb taken away. It is not an issue. Now, what prevented my access? My sin. My sin. What about my sin? It has been put away. When He said, it is finished, that means all the sins of all the people He died for were put away, made to be no more. And that barrier that prevented me from coming into God's presence has been deleted, gone, put away, finished. I've got no sin. Now, the only thing that would make you afraid to die is sin.
Isn't that something? What if you have no sin? You have freedom of access into the very presence of God. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. What else is needed to that? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The reason that I would be denied access, my personal sin, has been dealt with, and I now have, through Him, by Him, and in Him, the love of God. The love of God. Now here's another thing people just take for granted. Well, sure, God loves me. He's God. That's His job. He loves everybody. That's the way God is. That's once again betraying a complete ignorance of the character of God. God's love is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's a sovereign, saving love. Everybody He loves is saved. Everybody He loves is welcome at all times into His presence. I love that passage of Scripture, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. This is another one of those Scriptures I quote all the time because I love it so much. 1 John 4, 17, as He is, so are we in this world right now. How lovely is He to God? How much freedom does He have to enter into the Father's presence? Perfect freedom. There's a perfect union between Him and the Father. Perfect acceptance, perfect love, perfect everything. In Him I come the same way. Access. Freedom of access. Having all the love of God the Father. And this access is only by Him, through His Spirit. Look in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. Here's another time this word is used. Verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Now, let me tell you whose faith I have confidence in. His. I've got such confidence in His faith. You know, I don't much have confidence in my faith, but I have confidence in His. And we enter by the faith of Him. And it's through His faith that we have this access, this freedom of entrance with the Father. Romans 5:2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Access into the fullness, the infinite sea of God's grace. By grace, you are saved. Through, in, and by, and because of Christ, every believer always has this access to the Father. Access granted, not denied at any time, no matter what, under any condition. Every believer is always welcome. Now, how many times have you sinned and you thought, I need to wait till things get better. I need to repent of this. I need to become a little bit better. Then I can come into the Father's presence. No. No. That's totally wrong. Every believer at all times has complete access to the Father. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, for no reason whatsoever, cast out. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Now, Satan's, there is a being called the devil, very powerful being, much more powerful than you and I. He's a created being. He's the enemy of God. He's the enemy of Jesus Christ. He's the enemy of all who believe. Satan. Yes, there is a being called Satan. But he's God's devil. On God's chain. Doing God's will. He doesn't know it. He doesn't know it. But everything he does is because God purposed for it to be done for God's glory. He's God's devil. I don't want to have anything to do with him, but I'm glad he's God's devil, aren't you? Under God's thumb, in God's control. Let me tell you something about Satan. His great goal is to put something between the sinner and Christ. Now, all that come to Christ will be received. But his great goal is to put something between the sinner and Christ. Because if he can do that, if he can put something between us and Christ, we will not come to him. In Exodus chapter 20, you know what is contained in Exodus chapter 20? The Ten Commandments. The law of God. And you know what happens at the end of Exodus chapter 20? There's an altar provided. In that very chapter. An altar for sacrifice. You see, God knew and knows that me and you aren't going to keep that law. And the only way we can be saved is through the sacrifice of His Son. That's what the altar is for. Sacrifice. And you know something that was not, that was actually forbidden with regard to the altar? Steps. Steps to get there. As a matter of fact, the altar was to be made of stones that a human tool had not touched. You put a work in there anywhere and it's polluted. No steps to Christ. I don't know how many times I've heard preachers say, turn from your sins and trust Christ. Turn from your sins and trust Christ. Repent of your sins and trust Christ. Now let me make this statement as dogmatically as I can. That's putting a work you need to do in order to get to Christ. And do you hear what I'm saying? That kind of language is putting a barrier between the sinner and Christ. You need to take care of your sins before you come to Him. You need to stop that sin before you come to Him. You need to turn from your sins and not return to them and not commit them anymore before you can come to Christ. That is what's called salvation by works. Access to Christ denied until you get this thing straightened out. You repent of your sins. You stop committing them. And if you don't do that, you can't really come to Christ. That is the voice of Satan. To get the sinner to do something to make himself saved. And if there is anything you need to do before you can get to Christ so He can bring you to the Father, you'll not get there. Amen. What must I do to be saved? The Philippian jailer cried. Turn from your sins. He wouldn't be saved, would he? But didn't the Lord say, repent and believe the gospel? Yes, He did. Repent of that kind of thinking. Repent of those wrong and humanizing views you have of God. Repent of those wrong views you have of yourself. Repent of those wrong views you have of salvation. Repent! Change your mind. You're thinking wrong. And believe the gospel. Just as I am, without one plea, but the shed blood of Calvary. And that thou didst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Verse 1, then drew near unto him. They had access, didn't they? He didn't keep them away. Then drew near unto him. What's the next word? All. All. Everybody in this demographic. Then drew near to him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And they drew near. Verse 2. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners. Not only that, he eats with them. He takes them just as they are. No reformation in their life. He takes them just as they are. And he receives them. And he even eats with them. They're granted full access into his presence. Oh, all of the sinners drew near for to hear him. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful, that means you can believe this. You can rely on this. It's faithful. Something to be believed. It's in the Word of God. Can you believe everything in the Word of God? Sure you can. This is a faithful saying. I like that word. This was a saying in the early church. Something that was often said. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Now listen to me. This is something you and I ought to receive and embrace right now. It's sad that there are those who won't. And it's because they don't fit the description of the ones that Christ came to save. And they won't receive this and embrace this and welcome this as the best news they ever heard. But there's some who will. This is a faithful saying and it's worthy of all acceptation that Christ, God's prophet, the very Word of God, God's priest, the one who brings men into God's presence and God accepts them. God's king, the one whose will is always done. The one who has absolute, complete control over everybody and everything. That's Christ, God's prophet, God's priest, God's king. Christ Jesus, how I love His name. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. It's the Old Testament word for Joshua. And the picture so clear, Moses was not allowed to come into the promised land. That's so obvious. Law can't bring anybody into God's presence. Moses could not come into the promised land, but Joshua could bring Israel into the promised land. Jesus. Christ Jesus. What a name. He came into the world. Now, before He came into the world, He's the eternal Son of God. He always is. The same was in the beginning with God. But He came in the world and took upon Himself flesh. For what purpose? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to save sinners. Now, what in the world is a sinner? I looked it up in the dictionary and it said someone who is preeminently wicked. Sinful. Full of sin. When the Lord revealed Himself to Peter, Peter said, "Depart from me, Lord. You don't want to have anything to do with me. I'm a sinful man, full of sin." Full of sin. Now, what does it mean to be full of sin? It means you're full of sin. That means that's all that's there. That's what it means. That's all that's there in and of yourself. That's all that's there. You cannot not sin. All you do is sin. And it's all your fault. You're not looking for an excuse. It's all your fault. You can't blame God's sovereignty. You can't blame your environment, your circumstances, your upbringing. It's all your fault. You can't stand in judgment over anybody about anything. And you've got no claims on God. God, you need to do this because I know if He sends me to hell, just and holy is His name. That's what a sinner is. That's what a sinner is. Would that be you? Somebody says, "Now I'm not that bad." Number one, you are. If you say that, you're lying. You are that bad. And number two, if you're not that bad, you're cutting your own throat. Who did He come to save? Sinners. Sinners. And beloved, that's exactly what He did. He didn't come to make them savable. He didn't come to attempt to save them. He didn't come to offer them salvation if they just take it. He came to save them. And that's exactly what He did. Listen to me. Ain't going to be nobody in hell that He can't save. He came to save sinners. And that is precisely what He did. When He said, "It is finished," every sinner He died for was saved. Saved from the condemnation of sin. I'm never going to have to give an account for my sin. What about the judgment of the believer's sins? They've already been judged. They're gone. I'm not going to have to give an account for my sin. I've been saved from the power of sin. Well, how can you say that if you say that all you do is sin? Well, there was a time when I didn't believe that. And that's when I was under the complete power and dominion of sin. And this doesn't make a believer excuse sin or think, "Well, you know, I don't have to worry about this. Salvation by grace." We hate our sin. We don't want to sin. We don't want to sin. Sin's no good. I want to be found in Christ. That's what I want. I know enough about myself. I'm not going to make any promises. Well, I promise I'm not going to commit that sin anymore. Yeah, right. Lord, let me be found in Christ. Let me be saved by your grace. Don't see anything but Christ. Now, these men objected. This man receives sinners. I'm not going to say, turn from your sins and trust Christ. Doesn't mean you ought to turn from your sins, shouldn't you? You ought not ever sin again, should you? You really shouldn't. These things write unto you that you sin not. But what if I said you can't come to Christ until you did anything about anything? You can't come to Christ until you get this straightened out. That's the message of Satan. Now, I'm either telling you the truth, or I'm the biggest deceiver alive. One of those two things. You can't come to Christ unless you fill in the blank. No. This man, this glorious, holy, righteous man, receiveth sinners. And eats with them. Takes them into fellowship with himself. The gospel of Jesus Christ is essentially and fundamentally the sinner's religion. And if you're a sinner, this is gospel to you. Good news. Let's pray. Lord, we're so sorry for our sin. We confess our sin. We pray for forgiveness and cleansing. Lord, we're so very sinful. But how we thank you that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Lord, enable us all to say, oh Lord, I'm a sinner. Save me. Bless this word for your glory and our good. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and come lead us in closing hymn.